إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, as we know, people make New Year's resolutions. So, the most of the world makes it on the 1st of January, and of course, we Muslims like to imitate, so we make it on the 1st of Muharram. Or at least they tell each other to make it on the 1st of Muharram. I don't know where they found this dalil to make New Year's resolution on the 1st of Muharram. Anyway, I am proposing to you and to myself that let's forget about New Year's resolutions. Let's make new life resolutions starting today, because that is the real thing. Today is all we got. So let us make new life resolutions. Why am I saying new life? Because we are in the month of Ramadan al-Kareem, and the month of Ramadan al-Kareem comes for us to change our lives. As I've said before, and this is, I'm repeating something that one of our teachers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor, Maulana Yunus Patel rahmatullah alayhi, used to say that did Ramadan enter you or did you enter Ramadan? Because if you entered Ramadan, then it's a matter of date. Starts on this date and it ends on this date. So, first of Shawwal, you are out of Ramadan, khalas. But if Ramadan entered you, then inshallah there is some hope for the better, meaning that changes will come. And as I mentioned in one of my khutbas previously, psychologists say that if you want to change a habit or if you want to inculcate a new habit, then you must do that new thing for 21 days. They say that if you do some new thing for 21 days, for example, if you say for 21 days I will pray Salatul Fajr in the masjid without any gap, for 21 days I will pray Tahajjud or whatever the case might be, then inshallah this becomes a habit. What you do consistently for 21 days. Now Ramadan comes with the opportunity to do something new, not for 21 days but for 29 or 30 days. So it is an opportunity to change your life, completely to change your life. And therefore I think it's important to make these resolutions. And the reason I'm saying it now is because we are still in the beginning of Ramadan. Today is the second of Ramadan here, and therefore we still have enough time, inshallah. We still have more than the 21 day limit. So let us make some resolutions, and I am proposing to you something, then of course please make your own. One is in terms of Tilawat al-Quran, a resolution that we will read Quran every single day of our lives, that we should read Quran every single day of our lives. In Ramadan, read more than we normally read. But may Allah forgive us, there are many people, many Muslims today who do not read Quran at all. And the only Quran that they hear, even that is not reading, the only Quran that they hear is when they come for Tarawih. And that's it, khalas. And Tarawih also, everyone conveniently becomes Shafi when Ramadan comes. So after 8 rakat you go home, because you've given yourself the fatwa that is all that is required. I keep saying all the time, I'm not disputing that is sufficient. I'm not disputing anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that if in fact, seriously ask yourself this question, how authentic are you? Because if you really believe the hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who said that for every letter, not word, every letter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is read and then listening to it or reading it is equal. So therefore, for every letter that you read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you 10 hasanat. 10 nekiya milengi har harf ke upar. Lafz ke upar nahi. Jumle ke upar nahi. Ayat ke upar nahi. Har harf ke upar. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he clarified further. And he said that I do not say that alif, lam, meem is one letter. Alif is one letter. Lam is one letter. Meem is one letter. So kitne bhi, how much? 30. 30 hasanat. Now seriously, if you believe the Prophet ﷺ, I think there are some bad questions we should ask ourselves. You know, I mean, this is not a dumb question. We have to seriously ask ourselves these questions, look ourselves in the face, sit in front of a mirror, look at yourself in the face and ask this question: do I believe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Do I believe that Allah subhanahu, do I believe the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or do I doubt the word of Allah? Do I believe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Or do I doubt his word? Seriously ask yourself this question. Because if in fact you believe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then and in fact you believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that one day you are going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then how can you leave the opportunity of getting more hasanat when that opportunity is available to you? I'm not talking about the issue of, you know, 8 versus 20 and so on. I'm just saying here is an opportunity where for no effort you are simply standing there. And if you get tired standing, sit down, no problem. Right? I mean, nobody said don't. If you have a problem standing, or if you get tired standing, yeah, sit down. The imam is the one who is doing the work. He is the one who is reciting. Yet you go away home. Why? What is it that is there at that time of the night in your home or in your life which is more important than getting hasanat, which will be on your scale on the day of judgment? Seriously ask yourself this question. Don't waste your time. Don't fool yourself. And if you really say, I have this thing which is so critically important that it is more important than getting hasanat which will be useful for me on the day of judgment, by all means, please go. Please go. No problem. But don't do this disfavor to yourself. So the first resolution is that you will decide whether Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke the truth or not. You will decide whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be believed or not. And if the decision on both of these is affirmative, then concentrate on the Quran. Right? Second one, the issue of zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned yesterday, the azkar after the far salah. Right? These are the azkar that Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. They are sunnah muakkada. He never left them. He did these azkar after every far salah. So what is our basis for leaving them? Once again, you are in a hurry. Hurry to do what? Hurry to do what? If you say it is hurry to do some work of your dunya, then believe me, if you spend the time in the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I'm not saying spend 25 minutes, spend 30 minutes, 1 hour, it takes 5 minutes, 6 minutes. Inshallah, if you spend that time, if you give that precedence over whatever work you are doing, inshallah, you will go and find that work has been done for you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in any case, Allah is the one who is going to make that work happen or not happen. But you leave the zikr and you go off to do whichever great work that you are doing. After all, you are running the world. What will happen to the world? So these azkar after every far salah, make it fard on yourself. Sit peacefully. What kind of a life? Just ask yourself, what kind of a horrible life am I leading? That I have no peace of mind, that I have no time, even 5 minutes, 6 minutes to do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That even in my salah, I am somewhere else. Even after salah, I am running for something. How long will you run? How long will you run? How far will you run? And for what are you running? Tell me, what is it that you are running for? So make this resolution. What is the resolution? That I will have peace of mind. That I will give myself sukoon. Please understand, I'm not asking you to give me sukoon. Yourself. That I will give myself sukoon. What is that sukoon? By praying peacefully, without hurrying, and then doing the muakkada azkar of Rasulullah. Now what is the benefit of the azkar? Astaghfirullah 3 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives your sins. Ayat al-Kursi. Rasulullah said, the one who recites Ayat al-Kursi after Salah, after first Salah, the only thing that keeps him from entering Jannah is his death. Meaning that the minute he dies, the door of Jannah will be opened for him. Khalas. Seriously, ask yourself. I'm just saying, you know, to me, when I woke up to the fact that I was Muslim, the one thing which convinced me was this question, which is this real? Because if it is real, then why am I, how do I justify what I am doing? How do I justify ignoring this, ignoring that? If it is not real, then why am I here at all in the first place? Forget this this whole, salah and this and that. Well, let me go enjoy myself, man. Who the hell cares? Why must I fast? So make up your mind. Is it real? Is it not real? Because we are living, may Allah forgive us, we are living like the munafiqeen. We say something and we do something else. Ask yourself in your own life, by looking at your life, if a third party, a completely new person who does not know, he just knows the principles of Islam. If he looks at your life, will he say this man is an atheist or this man is a Muslim? Because if he is a Muslim, if he believes in Allah, then how come he is living like this? If he does not believe in Allah, it makes sense. If he doesn't believe in Allah, then what is he? He's an atheist. You have not said that, you have not declared by your tongue to say, I do not believe in Allah. But looking at life, what is visible from your and my life? So, three times Astaghfirullah, forgiveness of sins. Ayatul Kursi, door of Jannah is open. Then, Tasbih Fatimi. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is the hadith related with Tasbih Fatima? You all know this. Fatima radiallahu anha came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and she said she wanted a slave to help ease her work because she was very exhausted. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I'll give you something better than that. Do this. 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will ease your work. Allah will take away the tiredness from your body. You want the tiredness. You want the stress. Tasbih Fatimi. And then, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu yuhyi wa yumit wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir 10 times. For each time, for saying that once, the reward of relieving or releasing one slave from captivity. What is the reward of living? The biggest thing that you can do in Islam is to release a slave from captivity. What does it actually cost in terms of money? Allah knows. Thousands of dollars. Wallahala. What is the price of a goat today? So the price of a human being should be more than that, right? You are getting it for free. Just by saying, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku lahul hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. One slave. 10 times, 10 slaves. 5 times into 10 times, 50 slaves per day. But you don't want that. Giving up all of this to get what? To get what? Seriously, my brothers and sisters, we have to wake up. So, next resolution is this. And third resolution, finally, is to focus on the present and bring some focus into our lives. You know, the other day, one of my teachers said a wonderful thing. He said, we hear these stories of our Salaf. And we say, so-and-so read so much Quran, he used to read one whole Quran every day. And he said, so-and-so used to pray so many rakat of Nafil Salah in the night. Somebody prayed 100 rakat, somebody prayed whatnot. And he said, whenever I heard these stories of this zikr of these people and so on, he said, I just doubted, really, is it true? I mean, did they actually do that? Or is it maybe the writers are exaggerating when they are saying, so and so prayed so much and they did this much and that. How can someone spend so much time doing one thing? He said, I had that doubt until smartphones came into the market. Not because there is an app on the phone. He says, because the amount of time people spend looking at the phone. And you will see that. As soon as Salah is finished, no zikr, immediately phone out. WhatsApp aaya tumhare ko bhi. Dekhne ko. What are you looking at the phone? Why don't you leave this nahusat in your house? Why do you bring it in the masjid in the first place? I bring it to record this fajr mantra. I never bring it for any other salah. Why must you bring it? What is going to happen? You are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever is going to happen will happen anyway. Go home and find out. Or even if you bring it, leave it in your pocket. Why must you pull out the phone? The first thing, assalamu alaikum, Walaikum salam. Phone in the hand. For what? Seriously, get serious with your life, man. What kind of life is this? I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. So make that resolution. I will not touch my phone when I am inside the masjid. So either don't bring it at all, which is the best thing, or even if you bring it in the masjid, leave it in your pocket, let it ring itself to death, turn it off or put it on silent or something. Do not touch your, make the khasam for yourself. I will not touch my phone as long as I am inside the building of the masjid. Go outside and then pick up your phone. In the middle of salah, after salah, we say very jokingly, oh, I was doing tawaf, and you know the Saudis have no iman, and the fellow was doing tawaf, and then the phone rings, he says, in the I am in tawaf. Saudi has no iman, you have iman. This is your iman. Seriously, let us make these life-changing resolutions for ourselves. I will read more Quran every day. I will do the azkar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after every four salah. And I will not touch my phone as long as I am inside the masjid. Correct, bhai? Please, do this. Do yourself a favor. I am telling you seriously. I mean, I am just saying it because it's my job to say these things. But please do not live or continue to live life the way we are living. I say this over and over again, and we have in this masjid, this alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this whole masjid and all the people who come here, we are alhamdulillah like one family. You know, you come here, you feel like you are among your own people. How many of us remember people who were here praying with us last Ramadan in Taraweeh? This Ramadan they are not there. You remember the people? And why are they not there? Not because they ran away or something. They are not in the world. Did they know that last Ramadan was going to be their last Ramadan? So do you know that this is not your last Ramadan? Do I know that this is not my last Ramadan? And so now when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we are asked, I had given you this Ramadan, what did you do? Allah, I was playing with my phone. I had this busy work I had to do. So, you know, Taraweeh and all that. I gave you the opportunity to listen to so much of Quran, but you listen only to voluntarily. You gave it up. Voluntarily, you listen only to so much. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, Allah, what can I do? You know, I had more important work. You're going to say that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If you're going to say it, go ahead, no problem. I got no problem with that. You will answer your own questions, I will answer my own questions. You won't answer for me, I won't answer for you. Seriously, my brothers and sisters, let us wake up before it is too late. Let us make these resolutions. Let us, inshallah, maybe we'll have some more resolutions. And we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. But seriously, let us bring about some life-changing things in our lives before we have no life to change. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal to make it easy for us and to save us from ourselves. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.